Well, good evening. It's so nice to have you all here. A couple of you, it's got nothing to do with the title of it, because I'm dead.
What are you talking about? We're lying here talking to one another. The wife says, no, I am definitely dead. The husband insists, you're not dead. What makes you think you're dead? You all can relate to this. His wife answers, I know I'm dead because I woke up this morning and nothing hurts. I said it wasn't for everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another glorious day, a day that we can share with you and to worship you and to thank you and to praise you for your goodness and your love. Mostly, my Lord and my God, for your forgiveness, for each of us fail so often, Lord, but you're there to pick us up and forgive us when we come to you, and we thank you for that. That's your promise, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, tonight, by your Holy Spirit, guide me as I bring forth the word, and I pray that it is you and you alone that will come forth. Your words, your love, your mercy, and your grace will touch our hearts tonight and give us everything we need for this moment in life, because you promised us that we would have everything we'd ever need in this life and the life to come because of Jesus Christ and his perfect sacrifice. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, we're going to fish. We're going to finish up Ephesians 4 tonight, I hope, if nobody interrupts me, Bill. 25 and chapter 4. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. I titled this message tonight, Give No Place to the Devil. Give no place to the devil. Because it's in the scriptures, it's in the word, so I'm in the Bible. This one here. Ephesians. I thought I said that. Did I or didn't I? Okay. I didn't? Okay. All right. It's close. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah 8:16. They were related. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. That's in the Old Testament, right? So if we will go to Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's what we were talking about, walking in unity and the spiritual gifts and so on and so forth, that the Holy Spirit's equipping us. And we have to put off the filthy rags of the old man, right? In Isaiah 64:6, you don't have to turn to it now, but go to Philippians 3:8-9. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So, lying was a part of our life. I'm sure everybody in here has lied, and I would guarantee that one of you or one of us have at least lied once this week. No? Well, I admit it. And lying is a thing that, Arlene will come up to me and she'll put on this nice frock that she bought at Walmart, and she'll say to me, do you like it? We are so close now that I don't have to lie to her anymore. If I don't like it, I tell her, and she accepts that. And it's the same thing with me. But so often we want to be liked by everybody. We want this camaraderie. And so we lie to one another a lot. And you know that is a lie. Regardless of what you think or what you don't think, you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And somebody once said, if you're going to lie, don't say anything. And so then sometimes people get hurt that way. So what do? Here's the thing that we do, because we all know that we have a sinful nature. and we all fall short, and we do things that we know intentionally we do, but, and I like that but, He's promised us that if we will confess to Him, if we will come to Him, even in these little things, He is faithful and just. I don't say that we go with the intention knowing, well, if I lie, He's going to forgive me. We do fall short. We do lie. We do a lot of things that we used to do, not as much as we did. And my mouth is getting dry already, thanks to the pastor. No, that wasn't. But we all do. We're supposed to be new creatures in Christ. Is that what the scripture says? We're new creatures, and we are new creatures. We're not like we used to be. We still have that sin nature, but that sin nature really doesn't control us like it used to. It still comes and jumps and bites us in the backside on occasion. But the point is that we're supposed to be different. We want to be different. We cry out to Him when we do stupid things. We cry out to Him when we purposely sin. And the beauty is that when we cry to Him, He hears us, He's there, and He brings us back. We should never, I think I told you this last week, that we sin, but we're not sinners. And I can't emphasize that enough, because the devil will try everything within his power to keep us from the relationship with our Christ, with our Father, and with the Holy Spirit, by bringing things back into our minds and our lives. And when we do fail, see, you're just like you were before. You're no different. But we are different. The Holy Spirit lives within us, constantly working within us to change us each and every day. I hope everybody in this room today is closer to Christ today than they were yesterday. I hope you're closer to Christ right now than you were this morning when you got up, because of your relationship, your constant thinking of Him, constantly talking to Him, even when we do fall, even when we do fail, even when we fall into these stupid things that we shouldn't do. Amen? And I think that's the beauty of this Christian walk and this fellowship that we have with one another, with Him, with one another. And it's hard sometimes. Each one in this room has baggage. Some have more than others. Some baggage is worse than others. And that baggage keeps falling off a little bit at a time as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In my life, I'm going to give most of this in my life, okay? Because I know my life, and a few of you have heard a little bit of it. But the baggage will get less and less and less as we yield to Him, as His Holy Spirit continues to speak to us and guide us each day in all things that we do and all things that we don't do. Amen? So, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm trying to say here. That the Scripture tells us, putting away lying. What does that mean? What? Don't do it. Okay? Do we still do it? Okay, how do we do that? It's each day. Each day. It's not something, well, tomorrow morning I'm not going to wake up and say, well, I'm not going to lie today. Am I? I hope not. I hope that I trust the Lord enough that when the situation arises, if I do fall, I know He'll forgive me. But I hope I don't. Okay? So, where do you go from there? We stay within the confines of what the Scriptures tells us. If we do what we're supposed to do. Amen? Speak the truth. If we speak the truth habitually, it's the only intelligent and consistent way to deal with it. But it has to be a constant striving in our lives to walk that way, habitually walk in the way, habitually allow the Word of God to work in our lives. What's it say in James 3, 1 and 2? My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. The tongue is part of the body. But you all know that perfect just means mature. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will eventually come to the point where we'll be honest with one another and not worry about hurting one another's feelings. Amen? All right. So if you don't like me, just tell me. Excuse me? No, please don't send me a text. I hate texting. I hate it. Yeah, I can do that. 1 John 1:8. Oh, boy. What'd you get me into, Pastor? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Stick with the scriptures, and the scriptures will always take us out of the muck. That rope is always there holding on to us. You understand what I'm saying here with the rope? If you fall off a cliff, if you don't have a rope, you're hurting. We're walking a tightrope here because the enemy of our souls wants us. We're in the last days, brothers and sisters. It's close. It's so close. If you keep your eye on what's going on in Israel and everything, oh, we're going to see him soon. He wants us to be holy. Holy as he is holy. And how are we going to do this if we don't really strive each and every day to do what he wants us to do? Believe his word. He's holy. We forget that sometimes. It's so flippant. It comes out of our mouths sometimes. And some of the things I do and say, I can't believe I said it. But he's holy. He's good. Perfect. And he wants us to be perfect as he is perfect. And the only way we can do that is just embrace him each and every day, especially in these last days. Try to be careful with what we say and what we think. It's always here first before it comes out of the mouth. If something's starting to come, shut your mouth. Don't say it. But we need help. Each and every one of us need help. We're weak. He has to be strong in our lives. He has to be strong in my life. Each and every day. And if I don't walk in that way, I stumble and fall. I stumble and fall. Speak the truth as much as possible, as much as you can. And one day, everything that comes out of our mouth is going to be truth. That's that perfect day. That's that day we're with him, and we're with him for all eternity. And then we have the embodiment of truth. He is truth. And someday we will walk in that truth with the truth. You have to realize now, truth is not just a word. Truth is Jesus Christ. It's more than a word now. It's Jesus Christ because he says, I am truth. He is truth. 26 is hard sometimes. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sin go down on your wrath. Be angry and do not sin. It's pretty easy to get angry at times, isn't it? When we start thinking too much of ourselves, we think we're the cat's meow and somebody comes up and tells you you're not. Oh boy. Be angry and sin not. Psalms. In the book of Psalms. Oh, there's a lot in there. In fact, there's 150 of them. We're going to look at Psalms 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. So if you see that, it says be angry. So it's okay to be angry? Is it? Really? Okay. Can you give me scripture on that? No. It says... No. Righteous anger. Is there anybody in this room that can justify their righteous anger? Thank you. But we can. We're not righteous, but he's righteous. Amen? And I think we can find that in Mark 3. And he entered the synagogue again and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that he might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to him, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And this is the part. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. There is a time to be angry. There truly is. We should be angry every time there's an injustice. Every time there's all these Christians being massacred and all these innocent kids being killed, we should be full of anger. That is the anger that should only be in our lives. We should never be angry with one another, regardless. But so often, on occasion, we do get angry. But the only anger that is justified in God's eyes is the anger at sin and the atrocities that are being done to people. Anger is a sinful part of our nature. Okay? It's a sinful part of our nature. We're supposed to have a new nature. You understand? Jesus had no sin.
Correct.
No sin.
You call that sin?
Being angry, righteous anger is not a sin.
Yeah.
Righteous anger is not a sin.
Time when we become
angry, and it's part of for the right. I said for righteous anger, didn't I? But Dana said that it's part of our nature. It's our sin nature that it's part of. We're supposed to have a new nature now. So when we sin, it's still wrong. Right? When we're angry? No. Yes, because it's part of our sin nature. It's part of our sin nature. It's part of our sin nature. You can't separate the sin nature. Okay? We have it. And that's where the anger rises from, the sin nature. That's what I'm trying to say. Because when we start saying that I get angry and it's part of my nature, yeah, it's part of the sin nature, that God's trying to deal with the sin nature. Go ahead. Is that what you said?
No.
Yes.
Thank you. Because righteous anger does not come from our sin nature. That is imputed to us by God. That's exactly right. We can either deal with it with our sin nature or God. So that's... Any more questions? Any more rebuttal? All right, so be angry and sin not. And so we talked about the righteous anger. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. James 1:20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We can be sure of the word of God. I wrote that down. Alrighty. Let not the sun go down on your anger, your wrath. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. There's a lot of hurt and cherished and prolonged anger. We must cool off quickly, get control and restraint of our tempers, and make a Christ-like adjustment to the irritant circumstance. That, I think, is the answer, isn't it? What's that? What I just said? Righteous anger? No. Righteous anger is justified. I said that before. Yes. And how do we deal with it? Right. How do we do that? Thank you. Okay. Yes. Right. Exactly. And that's what we're going to say in verse 27, right? Do not give an opportunity to the devil. And every time we do and we don't repent, we don't give it to the Lord, then it's an opportunity for him to hit us over the head and behind the head and all over our body. Romans 12:19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will pay, says the Lord. Amen? And I don't think there's anything else you can say about it. I don't know how many of you had it happen in your life, but I know God intervened in my life at one time. I was going to bring vengeance on somebody, and he brought this scripture to me, and that individual was taken care of. Without me intervening. So, that's the whole thing. If we could just let the Lord every time intervene when we do stupid things, we allow things to happen to ourselves, we just step back and say, Lord, take care of it. But so often, I got to be the macho and I got to do it my way, me and Frankie. You don't know Frankie? Old Blue Eyes? He did it his way. Did I tell you what his daughter did? She put a carton of Lucky Strikes and a bottle of Jack Daniels in his grave with him. I'm thinking about going over there, tear it up and see if it's still there. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Need. I'm going to read this out of my study here. Note that the first motive for a believer to earn money is that he may have something to give. The occupational enterprise of Christians is not simply to make a living, but to make possible their being instruments of God's service to mankind through the work and giving. We all know that the Bible says if you don't, or Paul said it, if you don't work, you don't eat, right? There's a lot of people that can't work. But a lot of times we take our earnings and we feed ourselves before we feed somebody else. It's just like that time a bunch of us went up to the park. Remember that, Gary? 100 years ago, we went up to the park. We're going to do it again sometime, right? But And I know there's a lot of people in the park that could work. I know that. There's professional people that don't work. They live off of everybody else, but there's quite a few that really can't work, mentally disabled. There's a lot of reason. But God will give you discernment each and every time to give something to somebody that needs it, if you ask Him. He's done it in my life, and I know He's done it in your life. So I can tell by the way you're grinning. God does that. So we're always in a position to help somebody. To help somebody out, to give somebody something that they need. Sometimes if we have to go without. But none of us in this room will ever be without totally. Because we belong to Him, the one that's given us everything. So I truly believe the more that we give to others, the more blessed we will be. The more we give to others, the more blessed we will be. I truly believe that. Let's see. Luke 3:11, please. We're not going to finish this tonight. I hear an amen. 3:11. Luke 3:11, I think. Yeah. And I underlined this, so it must have meant something to me. He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." And I wrote over here in my lousy handwriting, we lose our self-centeredness. We lose our self-centeredness. Or maybe, I don't have a pen, I was going to change that. I lose my self-centeredness. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessarily edifying, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessarily edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Grace to the hearers. No corrupt. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. All evil speaking. Corrupt speech comes from a corrupt heart, and pure speech from a pure heart. In Matthew 7:16-20, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. In Matthew 13:48, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. The fish. Are we going to have rotten fruit and rotten fish? Or are we going to have the good fish and the good fruit? What are we going to have? Corrupt speech will contaminate the thoughts of others, but that which is good to edifying. We got to watch what we say, always. Careful speech. I'm going to close with this. If a rotten word is found in the mind, shut it off at the mouth. Amen? Amen. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, Father, I thank you, and I pray that what was heard tonight, what was said tonight, will be edifying to each and every one of us, and that clarification will be made in our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in all things. And may we truly walk in the way, the only way, let our speech which be flavorful to all who hear, and each and every one will be edified. Through Christ our Lord, we ask this. Amen.